Great to be with you, everyone. Drew Janetsky, Professional Learning Officer for the New South Wales Primary Principals Association. And in today's podcast, we're going to be discussing the 7 habits of highly effective people with Deborah Hannon. Now, Deb has worked in the education sector for over 40 years. She began her teaching career in the western suburbs of Sydney, and she's held all of her executive positions over her career, including being an executive teacher when it was called an executive teacher position, assistant principal, deputy principal, and principal. Deb gained her first principalship in 2001 at Belmont Public School and moved to the Entrance Public School in 2007 and finished as a principal of Batho Bay Public School. Deb then joined the high performance team in the principal school leadership role, or known as the PSL role, until her retirement. Deb has continued to work for the New South Wales Department of Education, delivering professional learning such as the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and has been part of the Fast Stream initiative. Deb also has roles with Franklin Covey Education and the University of Newcastle. So in today's episode, we unpack 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Enjoy. That, Deb, welcome. And what inspired you to be a 7 Habits course facilitator?
Well, I was fortunate enough to attend a 7 Habits program over 20 years ago in my first year as a principal, and it really enabled me to deeply reflect on the principles that would help me be more effective personally and professionally, though in my role as a leader. So it really gives you a scaffold to help build better relationships, but also the importance of staying healthy and renewing yourself. So in my time as a principal, I witnessed many dedicated and committed leaders and teachers struggle with the demands of the job. So Covey's model gave them habits to allow them to be more effective. So as a facilitator, I find it really rewarding now that I can share this knowledge with others.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So Deb, what are some of the benefits that you have personally experienced from practicing the 7 habits in your own life?
Well, I think there's many benefits, obviously, and some of the habits you resonate with more than others, and they really have a greater impact than others. But generally, it definitely makes you lead more effectively. It gives you those skills that allow you to work with people, and obviously, the education industry is very people-based, more effectively. It actually allows you to balance your professional life and your personal life with greater clarity. And it also allowed me to support my friends and colleagues in their ability to be more successful in life, and particularly in the role of principal. It's a very enduring, long-term skill that builds up. It's not a trend, and it really does stand the test of time, I believe.
Yeah, it sure has, hasn't it? Mm. It's really tested. I'm not sure how long the program has been around.
Over 30 years.
Yeah, so it's been, and for those who aren't familiar with it, with the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, it is, as you said, it's a globally recognized program. It has impacted countless individuals and organizations. For those who are unsure and want to know further about it, can you briefly explain what the course is about and the significance, particularly in the school context, Deb?
Sure. So the model is based on 7 principles or habits that make people more effective. And I think, again, the key difference for me in delivering this course is it doesn't just focus on your professional life. It definitely focuses on your professional life and your personal life, because as Covey says, if you are not coping in your personal life, it's very difficult to then be effective in your professional life. So it shows how it's principle-centered. So it's very much about character. It's based on the fact that the character is really the roots of effectiveness, and it helps you build those healthy relationships that are a key to an effective life. So yes, it definitely is one of those programs that's all encompassing, and it gives you lots and lots of skills, and it scaffolds you to be better and more effective.
Yeah. So for those who have done the course, do people come back to the course as a refresher as well, Deb?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And as I said, I did it over 20 years ago, and I probably haven't really seriously revisited it again until about 5 years ago when I became more involved as a facilitator. And yes, I can see the real benefit, I think, of revisiting the program. Saying that, it's got a lot of support documents. You know, you've got a little skill set card. You've got your what I call the journal, which you write in, which is great to reflect back. And I think the other thing that's good about that is, and I did mine 20 years ago, I look back some of the issues or some of the factors that I were concerned about then, I've resolved, but others I still am working on.
Yeah, and that's part of life, isn't it? That, yeah, absolutely. So can you touch base on, I'm sure you've got some success stories that you'll be able to share either in your personal life or you can talk about transformational moments that you witnessed as a facilitator. I'm sure there's plenty there that you can share. Is there any one or two that come to mind?
Look, I think, and it's interesting being a facilitator as opposed to a participant in the beginning. I know when, and I often share this with my groups, when I first did it, there's a habit that is seek first to understand, then to be understood. I think it's a really critical habit in the public victory. So that's when we're working with others about relationships. It's all about making sure that you really understand and listen to people as opposed to sometimes jumping in and having your own agenda when you're talking to people, which is a habit that many people have. That was one that really resonated with me because I tended to be a fixer and a doer. So when people came to me with problems, I tended to straight away take on board their issues and try and fix them as opposed to allowing them to work through those issues. And that is not good to build people's capacity. So that was one that resonated deeply with me. But others, you know, they vary. You know, many people have real light bulb moments when they come into the course. They have something, and then as you start working through that habit and giving them concepts that they're thinking and reflecting about, they sort of go, yes, that's what I need to do. The other really great thing about being a participant in the course is you often learn and share from others. So they might have an issue or a problem or something they're working through or something they're struggling with, but then someone else says, yes, I used to be like that or had that issue and now I've worked through it this way. So it's a really good community of people when you work in the facility. The advice is very easy to apply, and sometimes we don't see that, you know, we can't see the trees through the forest. We get clouded by the issues, and this brings clarity, I think, sometimes when you're just working through these things. It breaks down key concepts into really manageable bite-sized pieces.
Yeah, it's a real opportunity to reflect on current habits and where to next. I guess in terms of the real question in education or any organisation is that word of impact. And in terms of the impact with Seven Habits, have you seen anything regarding individual impact or network impact or organisational impact that you have seen? Wow, this course has really transformed that individual, which has led to transformation within the school, which has potentially had another influence in the network. Have you seen any impact, Deb?
You know, look, over the years, since I first did it, as I said, I found it so, you know, a real game changer. So I then, you know, ensured all my leadership teams went through the covey. So every school, and I was principal in three different schools, all my executive went through the program. So we all could talk the same language and we had the same understanding. And I also, allow or gave the opportunity to aspiring leaders. And there were some people who were sort of thinking that maybe they were interested in taking on leadership roles, but maybe they didn't really have the capabilities. And I think I saw some individuals, once they had done Covey, really that developed their confidence and their capacity because they had this scaffold now. They had this backup group that they could of habits they could call upon if things became difficult. So I definitely saw, some individuals who were concerned that they weren't ready for that role, then become more confident they could take on that role. That was that's one stream that I can see developed and built on that. The other, I think, as organisations, I think it's really a powerful language that organisations can have if many individuals in the group have completed the course. And we see that more regularly now where some schools, are allowing every teacher or every, person who works in the workplace to come through and do the program because they believe it's a language and a belief system and a value system that needs to be embedded in the whole organization. So that's a definite, trend that I see. And I think that's really a powerful process if you can go through that.
Well, it is powerful. And as we said at the start, it's over 30 years, the program, which is testament of time, testimony of the quality of Seven Habits. There are many other courses in the market. What do you think, Deb, sets Seven Habits apart from other personal development programs? And what do you think makes it particularly effective and valuable?
Well, I think what we've talked about already in this podcast is the fact that it's not a trend. It's not, a moment in time. It's actually their lifelong values. And as Stephen Covey says many times through the program, when he shares his insights with us, they're enduring, they're timeless. So, we all know that we have things that become the flavor of the month.
Yep.
And we all buy into them. And then time shifts and change and they no longer become relevant or pertinent to our lives. The Seven Habits is not like that. The Seven Habits is something that's part of our makeup. It's how we connect with people from when time began. And in 50 years' time, they're not going to change. As I said, that word enduring, I think, is really pertinent to the fact that they will stand the test of time.
That's really powerful, what you've said. So for someone considering attending the Seven Habits course, what advice would you give them to maximise their learning experience and ensure they can effectively implement the habits in their lives?
Well, I think you have to really be willing sometimes to make some changes and be honest in your reflections. And again, when I start the program with new participants, I say that to them, that some of these things are going to be probably a little bit hard and it's no use trying to sugarcoat what you do. As I said, I remember that habit that resonated with me, seek first to understand, then to be understood. I tended to always go to the second part, seek to be understood, as opposed to the first part. And I had to be brutally honest with myself. When I looked at some of the conversations around that habit, I'm thinking, this is what I do. I do this. I do jump in. I do tend to look through the lens of what I'm thinking as opposed to actually listening to the person that I'm working with or talking to or communicating with. So I think you need to be, that can be a blocker if you're not open to that change. But I find everyone, when you really see the benefits and you consider how that change is going to make you much more effective in your relationships and get more out of them, people are open to considering, well, I'm happy to do that and I'm happy to consider these changes and these options. And it's step by step. It's small bites. You don't have to change the world in 5 minutes. It's you work through these things and you constantly change and reflect.
That's right. And it was good that you said that in terms of the awareness that you gathered from there. And the steps, it's not an instant fix. It's practicing over time and reviewing what you said and how that can improve and being aware of that. At least then you can practice on what you could in terms of outset to achieve. So,
and sometimes until you actually sit down and work through some of these habits, you haven't actually really given them deep thought before. In your past, one of the really powerful things that comes out of this course is the fact that people create their own personal mission statement, and people find that really, really difficult. really difficult.
Tell us what that's about.
Well, the personal mission statement is where you have to really reflect about what you is really meaningful to you. What gets you out of bed every day? What do you want people to look back and think that's a legacy that you left to others? So, you know, it's something that we don't do very often. Well, we never really do. Think about these long-term impacts on people and how we're going to be viewed in the future. You know, so that takes a lot of thought, a lot of honesty. In the program, we do a lot of scaffolding to build how that works, because people generally, when you first mention the fact, well, you say, state we're going to make a personal mission statement, it's daunting, very daunting.
It could be confronting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I will say, every time there's no one that I have ever worked with that hasn't found it really rewarding, worthwhile, and everyone has said, that was a fantastic process to go through, and they've come up with some really powerful statements that will then drive what they do in the future. And that's what it's all about. The mission statement is something to build as a platform for the decisions that you make in everyday life.
Yeah. Deb, is there any other final words of advice you'd like to share about the 7 habits of highly effective people?
I think, you know, one thing that is asked of me over time, and I do connect with people after we've finished this, and people often connect with me, and it's really nice to have these lovely little emails saying, thanks, I'm still working on this, or I've implemented this and I can see real change. It's, you know, it's those really nice feedback, that feedback that you get. But it is easy to fall back into those old habits that you had. If you're stressed or tired or unwell, that's when we lower our capabilities to a point. So the last habit, habit 7, which is sharpen the saw, is so important to make sure that that's all about yourself. That's looking after yourself. That's that that daily renewal, Stephen Covey calls it, that's so critical. So if we aren't on top of our game, we cannot be the best we can be in our home life, in our personal life, with our friends, with our family, or with our work colleagues. So that, I hark back to that. We often push that to the back. You know, looking after ourselves is the last thing we do. We prioritize everything else but that. And I think that's one of the really key points and the messages that Covey give you. If you are not well within yourself, you cannot be the best fathers.
Yeah, absolutely. Deb, that is fantastic advice in terms of, thanks for coming on and sharing 7 habits. Deb Hannon, everyone, a facilitator of the 7 habits of highly effective people. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Drew.
The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is exclusive for the New South Wales Primary Principals Association. Covey believes the way we see the world is entirely based on our own perceptions, and you could hear that in Deb's discussion today with us. So in order to change a given situation, we must change ourselves, and in order to change ourselves, we must be able to change our perception. Strongly encourage you to explore 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, exclusive for the New South Wales Primary Principals Association. All of the details at our website, newsouthwalespapa.org.au/7habits.